Hey, it's Gary DeHart with Insightful Accountant, and just want to welcome you to another episode of the Accounting Insiders Podcast. It is May the 6th, Seis de Mayo. We're at recording here at GrowCon 2025. I've got Cashflow Mike. You may know him as Mike Milan. Everybody knows him as Cashflow Mike, but thanks for taking a few minutes. Good to see you again, my friend.
Every time I see you, I want to spend time with you.
Right.
You know that.
Yes, I know, yeah, right? So you're an exhibitor here. You're a speaker here. You do some webinars for us. You're doing some speaking around the country. Before we dive into your latest acronym, update people on kind of your history, what you've done that got you to here. Not super in-depth, but high level.
Occasionally, college students say, how do I do what you do? I'm like, I don't think you can get there from here.
Right. Yeah.
It's one of those things, because it started out as a state trooper. And I mean, most of the things I teach are all just hard knock stuff. Mm. And that's one of the things I think makes it compelling to others, is that I'm not just pitching the fluff of business success. It's like, going, hey, I fought it.
Right.
Here are the things I tripped over. Here are the traps I fell in. Here's how bad it was, and how it hurt relationships at times. So I think the authenticity actually helps people understand what we went through.
That's a really good point. And it's funny you say that about college students, because Evan, who's behind the camera over there, I don't know, 4 years ago, he was like, or 5 years ago, I want to be a public speaker. Like, well, before you can be a public speaker, you got to know something.
You got to have a story.
Right, you got to have a story. You have to build something that's compelling, or have a special knowledge set that people want or need, right?
That's right.
And which ties in right with what you just said, and it's funny, I've never made that connection, but about your story and what you sell or speak about isn't necessarily, it's this topic. It's the life experiences that drive you to the topic, which is what the book's kind of about, right? It's about conversations and how you've learned to drive people through conversations. But I'm getting ahead of ourselves. State trooper.
State trooper. Yeah.
You've multiple software companies, restaurant industry.
Yeah. Hotel staffing.
Hotel staffing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So out of all of those, what was your favorite? Military veteran.
Currently now, this is my favorite. Because this is actually a lifestyle-friendly business.
Very much so.
Something that actually I enjoy doing every single day. But of the others, I think I still like being a state trooper. Okay. When it comes right down to it, I know it's a weird thing, but it's one of those things where I had a take-home car, right? When I got in the car, I was at work. Yep. When I pulled in the driveway at night, I was off work, right? And you kind of did what you wanted to do.
Kind of off work, right? Are you ever really off work?
You know what? One of the hardest things to do as a state trooper is make friends. Especially if they're having a barbecue and drinking some beers. And they go, don't invite him.
Don't invite Mike. Don't invite Copper Mike. Is that your name then? You're like Cashflow Mike now. I was Copper Mike then.
Trooper Mike.
So that's funny. I guess so, right? People are like, I don't want him too close. But then again, he's a good guy to know.
That's right,
Right?
Fun to know. So that's why they'd wave in the yard. Hey, Mike, how's it going? You guys drinking beer? What's going on?
You want a barbecue without me? That's right. I was busy anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So, this is your third book. What were the other two?
First one was Don't Be a Dumb Business Owner.
Right.
And that was the one that led me to create the Clear Path to Cash.
Okay.
Which is 8 techniques to maximizing cash in a business. So it's the math book, right?
Right.
It's like getting a math textbook. When I wrote chapter 3 in that book, it got too long. I'm like, nobody wants to read a 100-page chapter.
Right.
So I made another book that was really the deeper part called the 7-Minute Conversation, which I think we talked about last time.
Yes, I think we did.
But that's actually summarized in the dumb book as well.
Okay.
That's why I tell people all the time, see, you got my dumb book?
Yeah, right. And dumb, acronym, what's it stand for? It
stands for I Don't Understand My Business. Okay. Interesting story with that, right? I'm sitting there, I'm struggling in the hotel staffing because I couldn't figure out the timing of money coming in from Marriott and payroll going out to my employees, right? Like, man, I said, what's going on? I said, I'm not dumb. I just don't understand my business.
Right.
And you know how something kind of sticks? Right. Like, it's not an anagram. Is it an anagram? No, it's not an anagram. What is that
thing
called?
I just said it a minute ago. It's an acronym.
Acronym, got it. All right. So that's kind of where it kind of stuck. I mean, that was 20 years before I actually built the business.
Right.
Or wrote the book.
Yeah. Which that's interesting, too, just from the whole you know, this experience from 20 years ago sits in the back of your head and finally brings itself out. Do you think there was anything that triggered that to finally coming out?
Yeah, I put it in. All right, so when I got over at Finagraph, part of the way that we were trying to sell to banks was through education first, trying to build that trust, credibility, and authority. And so I put together some training seminars for bankers, and that's where it kind of came out. Because I would tell people, I said, the reason why people don't like bankers, small business owners, there's three reasons. One is I call LOTO, L-O-T-O, loan officer turnover, which means every time I go into the bank, I got to train a new banker because he went to another bank and he's trying to steal me to go to the other bank. So don't really like that. I have to restate my story all the time. The second thing was they never stopped by. And when they do, they only wanted to sell me something.
Right.
Right. And the reason why I said they were dumb, I said bankers were dumb first besides before me, because they didn't understand my business. They would come in.
Go ahead. You're fine.
They would come in to sell things like fleet leasing. I had one vehicle on the balance sheet, mine, just so I could get to the hotels. What fleet leasing am I?
Yeah.
What do I need, right?
Exactly.
So I just didn't think they understood my business.
Right.
So that's where that kind of popped out and just stuck with me even because you ingrain it now. Now I'm saying it in seminars. It just starts to become part of your daily language.
Gotcha. And so then you decided, you know what? It's time to tell people, don't tell me what to do. Right, which is really funny because when I opened it up and I looked at it, because TEL stands for
terminate every long lecture,
and I told Evan again, he's not here right this second, but I told him when I read it, I was like, this actually should be the parent handbook too, right?
Right.
I mean, because as parents, we talk our kids to death, and they stop listening after the first sentence, right?
Right.
Or maybe even after you say their name, and. And if the lesson turns into, or if the statement turns into this long-winded lesson, we lost them so long ago, right? They didn't, the only thing they heard was, hey, you did, click, it's gone off.
Yep.
And so explain what that means. Don't tell me what to do.
All right, well, it came about first when I was role-playing the math with some of my clients. I'm working with accountants and bookkeepers, advisors, fractional CFOs. And what I noticed is that they weren't great at the conversation. They weren't able to identify what the issue was with the client. They just kind of went into their thing, right, whatever their bad habit was. And it turned people off. I said, man, you're great at history, right? You're a great historian for the company. I need you to be the GPS.
Yeah.
Right? I need you to help me go where we're going
exactly.
next.
Exactly. Where am I going? But I know where I've been. I was there.
Right. Well, and from being a state trooper, I learned this thing called verbal judo. And verbal judo is about de-escalation.
Okay.
Because I'd rather talk to you for 30 minutes and fight you for three.
Right. Yeah.
As a trooper, because you just don't want to. So verbal judo was about just, hey, getting people to be committed to whatever's going to happen next, not compliant to what I was telling them to do. Because I don't know about you, I don't like to be told what to do.
Right. Yep. My wife would agree with that. Yes.
So I'm like, going, I don't think anybody likes to be told what to do.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Don't tell me what to do, but I still need you to take action.
Mm-hmm.
So what this book is it's eight questioning techniques that help people identify what the burning issue is.
Yep.
Right. The issue I call burning issue is that's the thing that's hurting your business, keeping cash leaking out, those type of things. I want you to be able to say it yourself. Right. So these questioning techniques come from being a cop.
Right. Right.
And believe it or not, you probably heard me say it on stage today, watching Hoarders.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Well, and that's interesting. I think we even talked about that yesterday, the psychological standpoint of that. So talk about that, because I think that's something that most of us don't really ever make that connection, right?
Well, yeah, and especially when you're with somebody that you think is, I'll just use the word authoritative, like your accountant, like you're judging me. Everybody expects you to judge them. You see my numbers, you know how much is in my bank account. So if I think you're the person that could judge me, because you know what you're looking at and I don't know what I'm looking at, if I think you're the person that's judging me, I'm defensive. I'm already got my hands up like, I'm going to keep you at arm's distance and just tell you what you need to know. Well, you got to break through that. And the way you do it is stop being judgmental. Stop being accusatory. Let them say what the problem is.
Yeah.
Right? And you do that through questioning.
I like that. And so the hoarding thing, example that you used on stage this morning, walk through that because that's such a good example of how they de-escalate or how they, again, hoarding is great because you're a psychiatrist, you're coming into my house.
Yeah.
I am I've got my ears closed. I've got my armor is on.
Yep.
And I'm ready to fight. Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, everybody sees the problem.
Right.
It's not hidden in a hoarding situation.
Yep.
Just like I was telling them on stage today was, it's not hidden on the financials either. You can see the problem.
Yep.
The thing that I think that I learned the most from the psychologist that I'm trying to get accountants to do is stop trying to fix the problem you see and start fixing the problem they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's kind of the message I'm trying to get across. And the way you do that is get them to say it. Because if they say it, it's real.
Yep.
Right? If they say, yeah, it's a mess. Yeah, I'm hoarding. Yeah, it's chaos in my house. If they do that, they already know there's a problem. They're more willing to take action to fix it.
Right. Yeah, or if you can get them to say, to admit, not the right word, but get them to identify that, hey, you know, every month I'm barely making payroll.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can get them to identify that, right? Then, as their accounting pro, you can start working on that. All right, well, great. Well, let's dive in. Why are you spending $500 on Starbucks a month? No, let's change that.
Yeah.
You know, and start identifying it. And then you're on their side.
That's right.
Right? You're not in front of them, confronting them.
Yeah.
You're lockstep marching with them.
Yeah, what's so interesting about that, and this is where it hit home with me in hoarders, is that there's a mother and a daughter, right? And the psychiatrist is there, psychologist?
One or the other.
Yeah, one
yeah,
of those,
I don't know the difference. But
when the psychologist speaks, she's committing freely to talk back. As soon as the daughter speaks, she shuts down and becomes defensive. And it's like, Mom, this house is killing you. Instantly, the mom goes, no, it's not.
No, it's not. Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, that's right. She says, as soon as she was accused or judged,
yep,
she was resistant, right? Remember the exercise I did where I pushed against the guy?
Didn't
tell him to push back, but he's
going
to do it anyway. People are just naturally resistant
when
it's not their idea.
I could kind of call that the Oprah effect too, right?
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I could tell my wife the same thing 10 times, but when Oprah said it, it kind of made sense. I'm like,
right.
Well, I just said this. I've said the same thing for like past 3 years. Sorry, honey. That's true. but because you're coming at it, or that person is perceived to be coming at it from a completely neutral standpoint, right?
That's right.
And even though, like in that example of the daughter, she's 100% only wants her mother well, right?
That's right.
And only wants her mother's welfare taken care of. But that's not how the defensive mom perceived it.
Yeah.
But here's the third party. Okay, I'll listen to you.
Well, and especially if he can get her to admit that that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If she says it comes out of her mouth, the mother's mouth, it's absolutely true.
Yep.
You can't argue with it. If the daughter says it, or even the psychologist or the doctor says it, she can argue with it.
Yep.
That's why you let her say the thing, and you go, oh, that's interesting. Let's work on that, right? And they're guiding it, but you're really guiding the conversation with your question.
Yep.
Right, because you can see it. You just got to ask the question to get them to go, oh, what do you think of this? There's a technique in the book that I use when I can't get somebody to say it. I call it the mirror moment. Right? And the mirror moment is when I tell a story about somebody else, it's really about you. Right?
Okay.
Because the problem I see, I'm going to say, you know what? I had this client, and they had too much inventory. And I'll tell the big story about the too much inventory. I say, hey, what would you do if that was you? If they can't solve their problem, they can solve somebody else's.
Right. And then they're like, oh, wait, I might have too much inventory.
Yeah. Right. And then you say, hey, you think that's happening here? Should we check? And all of a sudden they're ready to check because they just solved it and they're committed to an action.
Yeah. Now, in that case, in that example, I mean, you've already gone through it and you already know the problem.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're laying it out a way to help them better visualize it or better see it. Right?
Well, in the book, there's a thing called the elevation sequence.
Okay.
And that's the about fourth or fifth step.
Okay.
So by the time I tell the story, I've already tried four other times to get them to say it.
Yep.
Right? And finally, I just know they're not just going to say it. I have to make them say it with the use of another party, and I call it, let you and him fight.
Okay.
You and this made-up person.
Okay. That's funny. That's funny. All right. So what else from the book? And then we'll just start pointing towards the end here.
Yes.
What else in here that highlights that you want to make sure people kind of take from it?
So there's a technique that I use up front. When we get to where we're going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
People are naturally resistant, but I start off like this. It's called the nudge pact. And the nudge pact is getting your permission to push you, right? Which is, I say, hey, Gary, when we start this, there's going to be days where it's hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to be things that you don't want to do. Even though I'm asking you to do it, You said you're going to do it. You're just not going to. What are some things you do when you procrastinate? You know, and you'll hear things like, I'll stop returning your emails. Yeah. I won't take your phone calls. I'll miss meetings. I might cuss you out.
Yeah.
You'll hear them say that. Say, hey, when you do that and I see it, can I call you out? Is that okay? Can I push on you a little bit? Go from, you know, advisor to coach. And they give you permission up front. That way, 3 months, 6 months down the road, when you see it, you say, hey, Gary, remember when we talked like 3 or 4 months ago? And you said that when you didn't want to do something, you would stop returning my phone calls and all that?
Yeah, guess what?
You're doing it.
You're doing it.
Right? Yeah. You're doing it. What do you think we should do next? Right? Mm-hmm. And that gets them remotivated, or at least restarts the conversation.
Yeah. Right? So, so three books kind of tie. I know the first two tie into a lot of what you've done or what you've been doing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Does this tie in with it as well, or is this kind of a whole other training path?
It was the extension of that, right? Okay. It was the extension of the Clear Path to Cash is my training techniques or my math. Well, this book helps you find the burning issue. The burning issue is the actual problem.
Yep.
If you know that, I tell you in the book what Clear Path to Cash technique to use to solve it.
Okay.
Right? So that's the connection, is you use this to figure out what of the eight other techniques that I've taught over the past, I don't know, 10 years, do I use to be able to get to, you know, help the client.
Okay. So people can, you have training sessions, like here you're at we're at a conference, you're doing that, but you also have sessions where you bring people in and do group sessions, right?
Next
or what's
week,
just define what your business model is.
All right, so
and
I sell
why,
memberships.
And why accounting professionals should care.
So I sell memberships, right?
Okay.
So I've got three different levels. And basically the three different levels depend on how much support you think you need, right? So I've got live coaching, right?
Okay.
Where people come, I have a full calendar, it's 15 hours a month, and they say, hey, Mike, I'm dealing with this customer on Thursday. I need some help. You know, and I'm a strategist with them. I become a coach, an extension of your team. All right, so that's one part of it. The other part is all the video recording trainings, lessons that I've done over the years. That's all packaged for you so you can learn the techniques.
Okay.
And we'll have a better conversation when we're talking live because you got the same background I do now.
Okay.
And then lastly is the app, right? So I got tired of spreadsheets and different folders and files and all that. I said, what am I doing? I've been in software since 2012.
Right.
let's
get some more paper.
Let's just build some software. So I took all the stuff that I was doing in Excel and actually put it into an app that I use. So as a membership, you get that bucket of support. The app, live coaching, and the actual recorded video lessons.
Okay.
So you've got that. And you can get certified, you can get CPE. Just depending, again, the levels. There's three levels, and I'll tell you what's cheap. Too cheap. Everybody in here today has told me, that's all? Or, you need to raise your prices. I will.
Yeah.
I will. But right now,
better jump in there now, because the price is going up.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So it's anywhere between $169 a month and $299 a month.
Okay.
And that's for, if you got 100 clients, use the app. If you got three clients, use the app. I don't charge per client. I don't charge per user in your firm.
Yep.
You just get involved and learn it. I'm trying to eliminate cash flow as the reason that businesses fail, and this is one of the ways I think I can do that.
Okay, fantastic. And so people find you how? I mean, so you do it's an every other month now, cash flow talks.
Every month.
Is it every month?
Yeah, I'm with you every month.
All right. And I think we have one this Friday.
Yeah, I think it's Cash Flow Mastery Talks, and we got a lesson every. I think I'll be there. Second Friday of every month.
That sounds right. I don't think I will be there because we're flying back on my red eye Thursday night. So.
Me too.
Are you?
I'm still going to make it.
I have a further way to go, though.
Barely.
Atlanta? I've got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
So, we'll probably land. I think we land at 6 a.m., something like that. But
I would bet by 6 p.m. on Thursday, so I can make it.
Well, that's not a red eye.
Well.
We don't even leave here till 11:30.
Seems late to me.
So it'll be you and Matt, most likely on Friday. But so you've got that you do with us on a monthly basis. How else can people find you? I know you go to other shows. Where are you going to be out and about?
Well, I do three times a year. I do a two-day seminar in San Antonio. People can come to that. That's an immersion course, right? Because we go over everything, and we do role plays. I got this whole case study this time. We're going to do one next week. next Friday and Saturday in San Antonio. And I always do it on Fridays and Saturdays. So you can come in Thursday night. I take everybody to dinner. Friday and Saturday night, you could be at the Riverwalk, the Alamo, and all that. And then I got a two-day case study where we go through all the techniques because it's built. So you can, it builds upon itself throughout the whole thing.
Yep.
And so you get practice. I don't want you to go out there and the first time you've ever used my stuff is in front of a real client.
Right.
I want to role play with you. I want to show you how to do it. I want you to get comfortable with the tools so that you're really prepared.
So what do you say to the person that's like, I don't do role play?
Okay, don't. Do you like that? I mean, just don't.
I can't force you.
What are you going to do?
I'm no longer a state trooper. I can't arrest you. So, but is that a pushback? I mean, do you get people who are like, I'm just not comfortable doing that?
Actually, most people want to do it.
Okay.
Because everybody learns different, right? Some people can just hear it and say, I got it. If I just hear you say it enough times, I can get it. Some people have to write it down, right? Yep. Take notes. Some people have to see it on the board, right? See the words or the technique on a video. Other people have to do it, right? I don't know how kinetic stuff works, but it goes up, you know, through your body and into your brain somehow. But when you do it and you say it, it becomes part of it, right? It becomes part of your language and part of what you do.
Okay. And they can find you at cashflowmike.com.
Cashflowmike.com. Best place. It's the easiest name in the world.
All right.
It's a funny nickname I got, but I leaned into it.
Yeah.
You know the hardest part about being Cashflow Mike was the embarrassment of the first couple times I called myself Cashflow Mike.
Well, Cashflow Mike, I mean me, I said, well, yeah, I am Cashflow Mike, so hey.
That's what I am now.
Embrace it. Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
In,
so. All right. Hey, well, enjoyed it. Great catching up.
You.
Good
Thank
seeing you again.
Much.
And we'll see you in scaling, right?
See,
you're going to be in Orlando? You're not going to Orlando.
Joe, I'm sorry, buddy. I thought it was on Father's Day, and I got grandkids, and I was going to go do that. And then I find out, oh, no, it's not on Father's Day.
So not on Father's
Day. Next year.
Next year, as long as it's not on Father's Day. Because it might be. It has been in the past.
No, I'm committing now.
But have you ever noticed, it's never on Mother's Day.
Right.
A different story for a different time.
I'm kind of glad, though.
Yes.
I'm kind of glad.
Absolutely.
Don't need that one.
All right. Again,
hey,
enjoyed
thanks,
it.
Sir.
It's always a pleasure.
All right.